This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
I'ma get what's mine.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Think you're the only one that can make a move?
I have a proposition for you.
It's never your fault, is it?
This whole thing is offensive.
Do you think I'm a schemer?
Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we've got a brand new film that we're reviewing for you. It just dropped a little while ago on HBO Go. And it is Steven Soderbergh's No Sudden Move.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I hear there's a new Steven Soderbergh film, especially when I hear that he's doing a crime film, I get really excited. And this movie is such a great example of why, because it really hits all of those like weird, ironic, dark humor, and yet gritty and interesting crime drama boxes. I really enjoyed this one, and I'm really glad that we're talking about it.
It is so weird, right? Like, it's such a weird film. Not even like the story, but the way it looks. Like, visually, it's a weird film. The people in it are like weird choices. But like you said, that's a Steven Soderbergh film, and I usually say that I want these films to come out in the cinema because it'll be fun to watch them on like a big screen. But for some reason, I was like super happy that this dropped on HBO, that I got to watch it like immediately the week it came out on TV. For some reason, it felt like a very TV film with a lot of those Soderbergh cinematic qualities, if that makes sense.
I really loved this movie. I mean, I didn't really know what I was getting in for. I saw Steven Soderbergh, got really excited, saw the cast, and it's such a stacked cast. We haven't even mentioned it yet. Got really excited there. But still, I didn't really know what it was going to be. And the setup of the story, at least, is very simple. In classic Soderbergh fashion, there's a simple premise, and then things get more and more and more complicated as the movie unfolds. But at the beginning, at least, there are three hoodlums, but two that clearly are more important, who are hired to do what appears to be a very simple job. Everything goes terribly wrong, goes completely sideways, and a lot of sort of boss names are mentioned, so you know that there are bigger players at hand. And then it's really them trying to, I guess, you know, follow this trail of why they were set up all the way to the top.
And all of this is happening in the background of like 1950s Detroit. You know, segregation is still a thing. So there's all of this tension about race going on. So there's crime, there's race. So Don Cheadle, obviously, is black. And then you have Benicio del Toro, who plays Ronald Russo, who is Italian. So there's all of these going on as well. And then there are these great layers about how women are treated. And I don't know, it's a very smart film that uses this premise of a heist of gangsters, which is already interesting and just great fun to watch, but actually manages to expand it to touch on a whole bunch of things without being preachy about it.
Do you guys watch movies like this for the story, like you said, or do you watch it for the actors? Because when it comes to this, it's such an ensemble. So for me, I honestly don't care much about what's going on story-wise. I'm watching it to see some actors I love do weird things in a Steven Soderbergh film. And that's what they did, because John Hamm's in it, Don Cheadle's in it, Benicio del Toro's in it, Hopper from Stranger Things.
David Harbour.
David Harbour's in it. And then you have like a bunch of others who show up in very like minor, small roles, right? And I think that's my primary reason for watching a film like this. And then the plot comes second. And I don't know if I'm the only one. Like, what about you guys?
No, 100% you're not the only one. I was definitely watching it at first and really reveling in it, primarily for the joy of watching the cast, because they're such good actors, and almost to a T, they're all character actors, which means that this is exactly the right kind of film. You don't have sort of a Chris Pratt-esque star, you know, who's out there kind of being action hero dude. Instead, everybody is exactly this kind of character actor. Everybody leans into the idiosyncrasies of who they are, of the little exchanges. And so just watching them interplay is really, really cool. And then I think it's a bonus that the story holds up. So I wasn't paying so much attention to the story, and it's really partly because layer, layer, layer. And then it's only at about, I would say, the 45-minute mark that you're like, oh, you're doing something here. I need to pay attention. And I think that it's to the movie's credit that the story is ultimately also so rewarding.
The story is great, but you're right that it almost takes you along and you don't, because you're so hung up on, ooh, the accents that you're using, ooh, the chemistry between the two people in this scene, or, ooh, I didn't realize that was going to happen. And so you're kind of floating along. It is a really good story. But this is very typical of Steven Soderbergh, right? It almost feels like you're somehow being cheated or taken on a kind of con, because you often don't see what's coming next. I don't know how to separate the characters from the story, to answer your question, though, because I feel like they're all so tightly knit together, and they're all such, it's all such an important part of everything. The story furthers the characters further the story. Ultimately, I think I just enjoy, I enjoy how much everyone involved seems to enjoy being there. The actors, the director, it's all made with so much enthusiasm, and that's what I enjoy.
Did you guys also feel like it went by quick? Because I felt like it just breezed by. Like I started watching, and then it was so easy to get through. Like it wasn't draggy, like everything was paced so well. Like it wasn't one of those like long-winded plots that, you know, after a while you're like, okay, I get it, like let's get to the next scene. It almost felt like a HBO TV show. If that makes sense, like an episode or a pilot of a miniseries or something. And then I realized that the movie's quite long, like it's almost 2 hours-ish or 2 hours plus, if not mistaken. Didn't feel like it. Like, honestly, didn't feel like it at all.
Didn't feel like it. And I also started to feel like, oh no, we're approaching the end, because
yes, me too.
Partly because the running time is getting there, but the other part is also because if you've seen enough of these kinds of films, these kinds of heisty, capery, gangster films, you recognize when we're getting to the denouement, and you're like, okay, we're almost there. We're getting to all the crises. And I felt like I wanted more of it. I think part of it, we've talked about the acting, and I think we can definitely expand, because we've only mentioned like half the people who are involved. There's a lot. Okay. But the other thing is also, my God, does the movie look beautiful. So it's set, like you said, in 1950s Detroit. A lot of it happens inside homes, inside mid-century offices. And a lot of it is also meant to clearly delineate, this is a relatively rich white family's home. This is a very rich white family's home. This is your average black family's home. And in each setting, you can kind of, There's a lived-in quality, there's an immediate quality to all the sets that I thought really went a long way, not to mention the cars, because cars are really also at the very heart of the movie.
The movie looked great. The movie looked great, from set design to costume design. Side note for John Hamm being back in period costume, huge
right?
Mad Men vibes. I was like, yes, more of this, please. But the other reason for me that I felt like the movie sped by was the humor. You don't expect this kind of humor in most crime drama, but there's such a, it's not even jokes. There are some jokes, some parts are funny, but it's the sort of underlying sly stupidness to it. Almost lawak bodoh, but so lawak bodoh that it's actually pandai. Like that's what I loved about it. And that's what like just keeps the beat feeling so snappy.
My favorite line in the film, and I hope I'm not spoiling, is someone says, is that what I think it is? And someone else says, depends on what you think it is. Like that is the perfect answer to that question. And it's that kind of like snappy humor that goes throughout the film, right? I also love the way it looks. Like I love the way the film looks. It also doesn't look like any other film, which is weird. There's a sort of I don't know if I'm wrong, but there's a kind of fisheye-ness that's going on.
Yes. He went with a fisheye lens.
Yeah, so it looks kind of off-putting, and it's slightly uncomfortable. It's a bit like claustrophobic, but it's also very signature. Like I haven't seen, I mean, there are other movies that do this, but not this much. So it's a very unique looking movie as well.
And that's very in keeping with Steven Soderbergh and the experimentation with film, or rather with how he films his movies. I mean, if the guy is going to use a smartphone, right, to shoot one film, it's not surprising that he would then also opt for a fisheye lens to kind of get that 50s feel. We're talking today about No Sudden Move, which is a period crime thriller. I think that kind of doesn't really do it justice. That was that's been directed by Steven Soderbergh. It features a huge cast: Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro, David Harbour, John Hamm, Brendan Fraser. Let us know if you've watched it. You can catch it on HBO Go. Let us know if you like Steven Soderbergh. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
You said a man want to see me.
Alley out back.
Can't come in. What is he, white?
Oh, boy.
So what's the score?
We're sending a man that works in an office to pick something up. You are part of a babysitting team watching his family while he does it.
Good morning. Everything is normal, except...
What do you want?
Is that something you'd say? Normal Monday?
I'm gonna shoot you right now.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture Still with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. We've been reviewing today No Sudden Move, which is Steven Soderbergh's latest, available to watch on HBO. And so we've kind of established that the story is very layered, but also very difficult to talk about. Like, I think what we've said is more or less the outer limits of what we can talk about without then spoiling stuff. But one of the things that I found a lot of pleasure in is... I feel like the movie also layers who knows what and how much, and the audience is a part of that. So, for example, some characters don't know how dumb they are. Other characters know how dumb they are, you know, and it's about who they can trust, who they can't. The audience also only knows certain things at certain points. And so the whole thing in and of itself, very typical, again, of the director, feels like a heist. The film is structured itself like a heist.
Because there's two kinds of mystery or thriller, right? There's the one where you know what is happening, but the characters are finding out as they go along. Or there's the other one where you don't know what the heck is happening and you kind of have to try and figure it out as you go along with the characters. Both can be fun in their own ways, but I think for a story like this, I'm so glad that it's the second approach, because there's so much pleasure in just looking at things and wondering what is going on. Like, why are people behaving this way? Even right from the start, you don't know what each character only seems to know like 10% of the plan. And yet there they all are about to, I don't know, like do what seems like a pretty huge thing. Nobody seems to be taking things really seriously. Like, a man has his family trapped in a house and he sort of doesn't seem as worried about it as you think he should be. I don't know. There's just a tone about this film and the way that that mystery is unraveled that feels both real, but at the same time, like they're putting on a show.
And it's quite rare that the audience are the smartest people in the film, right? That normally never happens, because film always want to be, there are a lot of films that want to be smarter than you. They're supposed to outsmart you and sort of like bait and switch, and you don't see this coming or you don't see that coming. But like you guys said, like a lot of people do really, really silly things, and you're looking at it from like a bird's eye view and wondering why anyone would even make this decision, even in the context or in that situation. It's the completely wrong decision to make. So the person watching or the audience member is the smartest, and not even smartest by a bit, but smartest by a mile. And you're like, how did any of these people survive anything to this point to be able to function like actual human beings, which is fun.
And it's wrong for the wrong reasons, you know. It's not even like a noble character who's doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. This is a person who's just like, there are two paths. That way is really dark and thorny. Ooh, looks fun, you know, and then they go for it. And I think that the pleasure, again, of watching characters like that is, A, the performances are so good, because across the board, whether it's, I really, Benicio del Toro has my whole heart, and that's the case in almost any of his films, but he is so excellent. Don Cheadle, who's kind of this quiet, this quiet person holding it all together, but also losing it at points. You know, I just really loved the performances. I think the writing is also so important when you are writing characters that are going to be frustrating, because I'm thinking here, and it's a bit of a leap of something like Uncut Gems and Adam Sandler's character in that, who also at every single possible turn made the wrong decision. But there's something about that where you have to have a character likable enough to hook you along for the ride.
Yeah, because none of these people are particularly likable, right? Like, you don't really root for any of them. Not just that.
Not in the traditional sense.
No, no. Mm. And it's not just because they're not doing the right thing. It's because they're just often not likable. They don't talk to each other in nice ways. They don't make the right decisions. But they're fascinating. And I think that makes up for a lot of it. And it's very similar to Uncut Gems. You may not necessarily like them, but you desperately want to see where being the people they are, it takes you.
Yeah, Uncut Gems, I think, is like the perfect comparison, especially for Don Cheadle. I think, like, when you're in like a huge franchise like the MCU, like, everyone knows what Don Cheadle sounds like and then how he acts, right? So for him to be able to flex this much,
he sounds so different.
Yes,
right?
he sounds so different,
yeah. and he's putting on a voice and like a slightly different accent and stuff. And for you to make that believable, I think is huge. Like, that just shows like how good of an actor he is, you know, to play like a mainstream role and then go and do this on the side. I was just happy seeing him because he is a good actor. And he needs to flex. Like, once in a while, it's just nice seeing Don Cheadle flex.
But, you know, we spoke yesterday also about Independence Day, and we touched on characterization and then quickly zipped away like a trio in an alien spaceship on a way to a harebrained plan. And the thing is, it's because there isn't much characterization in that, but what they do in No Sudden Move, I think, is what many movies think they're doing. Meaning, it's the throwaway lines. It's the single conversations that someone has. It's 3 minutes. But that lets you know everything you need to know about this person. You know, Ronald Russo, or the character that Benicio del Toro plays, his motivations are set out in what is basically 2 minutes at the start of the film. Don Cheadle later on has maybe a couple of minutes of conversation with a woman that he hasn't seen for a while. That lays out his entire motivation. And it does it really well and really tightly and really believably. And that's good writing.
There's this great scene at the beginning of the film where Brendan Fraser's driving a car. Don Cheadle sits in the backseat and Benicio del Toro needs to get in. And that whole conversation about who gets to sit in front and who sits in the backseat, it's so simple, but it's so loaded with all of these, you know, things about race, things about how you relate to each other, things about gangsters, things about class. And I was so impressed. There's so much in all of these, seemingly throwaway moments.
Mm-hmm. And they never hit you over the head with it. You know, it's never like with brute force or whatever. I didn't feel one thing, though. I wish that there was more music in the movie, because like Steven Soderbergh's choice of score or choice of music is always like top notch and like spot on. And I felt like in a period piece like this, if there was more music or there was more song or choice of song, it would have been slightly better, because I was missing that a bit. The movie is quite quiet, and it's quiet for like long stretches. It would have been nice to have something in between.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'm kind of back and forth on that, because I wonder whether having music would have pushed it into costume drama territory, whether it would have felt too vintage, too, I suppose, artificial, because that's something that period dramas in general run the risk of, right? Like, somebody enters in a ball gown and you're like, ah, I see, it's just this kind of movie now. And I think that this movie instead had a more naturalistic feel. And that's reflected also in the dialogue, the way people engaged with each other. So I don't know. I can't imagine how music would have changed that.
For me, it was interesting because I didn't think about music, because I liked how the city sounded. I liked the sound of the bars that they were in. I liked it when they were out on streets, and then the contrast of that between the suburban homes. I remember paying attention to the sounds, which might be why I didn't miss the music as much.
I want to see Steven Soderbergh do one of these again, though. I know he keeps switching between films, like he's done horror before, then sometimes he does like drama. And
you mean
and
Contagion, right? When you say horror.
yeah. But I would like, I don't know why, I just want him to see do like period pieces or something in this vein, even though it's not so different. Yeah. I'm hoping, like, fingers crossed.
So this is something that I said to you both actually off air, where watching a Steven Soderbergh film is so satisfying because it's a Steven Soderbergh film, you know? Yeah. There are a lot of hallmarks, there's a lot of fingerprints all over it that identify it as his. Part of it is the cast and the repeating cast. That's reflected even in the cameos. I don't want to spoil because the cameo is tremendous, but there is a great cameo. And I think that there's something about the repeating cast, about the sort of visual hallmarks of Steven Soderbergh's work that makes it feel like you're in a Soderverse, you know, when you're back in these films. So like you, Arvind, I just want to see what's next. I mean, like, yeah, you want to do period and crime? That's good. If it's something else, I'm still all there for it.
I think he's like Quentin Tarantino in a very different way, in that they like playing around with conventions and genre and film. And yes, absolutely. I think more than Tarantino, Soderbergh actually takes apart these genres in really interesting ways. And I'd love to see him, I don't know, take on like an actual costume drama, women in ball gowns, Steven Soderbergh doing that. I'd be there for it.
Oh, a full TV show, like a full series.
A Soderbergh TV show would be great.
Would be amazing. Like in the same light, like, yeah, go for it. Like, that's something I definitely want to see.
What was that film that he did which involved Side Effects? I think Side Effects, I really enjoyed that film. I would have watched a miniseries. I think that it would have been a great miniseries.
Industry,
yes,
right?
That's the one.
Yeah, I love that one.
So, yeah. We've plotted out your career. Let us know. Let us know what you want to do. We've been talking today about Steven Soderbergh's latest film, No Sudden Move, which is set in 1950s Detroit. It stars just so many people. Don Cheadle, Benicio Del Toro, David Harbour, John Hamm. Think of a character actor. Stuff them in there. Let us know if you've seen it. It's available on HBO. If you plan to watch it, if you enjoy Steven Soderbergh, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.